Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, March 29th, and today we're reading from the big book. We are on page 11, paragraph 5, which begins with, "That floored me," and ends with, "He shouted great tidings," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Joanne D. for the 12 Traditions, Chanel T. will read our text and comment, Diane B. will read page 164, and Yvonne A. is here for backup. Thank you all so much for your service this month. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21266. 21266. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21268. That's 21268. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took that are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. And I'll now ask Joanne D. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Thank you. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 11, paragraph 5, and I will now ask Chanel T. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, this is Chanel T. in Washington State. I hope you can hear me okay.
You sound great.
Can you hear me? Okay, thanks so much, Elaine, and everyone doing service. Thank you, everyone on the line. I'm gratefully living in recovery today. I'm not cured, but I get to live in recovery today, purely by the grace of God. Had this power originated in him, I'm sorry, that is not the right paragraph. I just spaced out for a second. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted, "Great tidings." Is anyone besides me in need of a miracle today? Man, I love the story of Ebby T. It gives me so much hope, even though I don't live in that time and I'm not a man or an alcoholic. It still speaks to me because it's the language of the heart. It's the language of miracles. Remembering that just before this, it was clear to Bill, who had known Ebby for a long time, that Ebby was hopeless, powerless, doomed in his disease, just as Bill was and just as I am without this simple program. Ebby had effectively been raised from the dead by this simple program of hope and recovery, a solution, a new design for living. And Bill knew that Ebby had no power on his own to recover, just as Bill didn't, just as I don't, just as perhaps you don't. And yet Ebby had had a heart transplant, a complete heart transplant, without ever going under the knife. It's a spiritual program, and it changed Ebby from the inside out. It changed Bill from the inside out. Eventually, we'll find out. And it's changing me from the inside out one day at a time. It's the same solution from all those years ago. The same solution is there for us, and it's simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple for you and me. And I want that miracle. I live in that miracle today, the promises today. And there's so many in this book. Don't miss them. There's so, so many. I find more all the time. And I'm shouting great tidings to you. That's what we do on this meeting. We shout great tidings. It doesn't mean life is perfect. Of course it's not. It's messy. Come on. It's not easy. But I don't need to complicate my recovery. It's all here in the book. My higher power is already my higher power. It works. It really does. Because I set aside my unwillingness, I didn't feel willing, you guys. I just set aside my unwillingness and I acted as if. And I did exactly what my sponsor said to do and kept it and still keep it simple by working the steps from this big book. I get to live in a miracle every day, and that floors me. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. Awesome. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple meetings and you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name and where you're calling from.
Wendy B.
I heard yeah. Wendy B. and Bruce E. and who was
yeah. Roz G.
Oh, Roz G and Deanne. Ah, Deanne.
Yep.
And Roz G.
Jessica C.
Jessica C.
Juanie Finn.
Denise C.
Okay. That is a great lineup to start. Here we've got Wendy B., Bruce E., I believe it is, Deanne F., Roz G., Jessica E., C., Jessica C., I believe it is, Juanie N., Denise E. If I got anything wrong, let me know when you come on. Wendy B., please share with us. You'll be followed by Bruce.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just love this paragraph. I looked up the word miracle, and it says a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. And that's what happens to us in this program. And this book is just so full of examples of how selfish our human nature is when we are in our addiction and being selfish and using others for our own purposes and trying to manipulate others to meet our needs. You know, we're self-absorbed, we're inconsiderate. And, one of the miracles that God has done in me is transformed my selfish nature. You know, so now I want to serve others, you know, and I can actually consider what is best for someone else. And that is a miracle. And another miracle is the willingness to eat for the health of my body and not for taste. You know, and I can put a priority on maintaining my physical health, you know, doing what's necessary to keep my body in good enough shape, you know, so I can be the hands and feet, you know, for my handicapped clients and, you know, who can no longer, you know, do their own activity. You know, they need my help. And it's a miracle. And another miracle is God changing my nature, you know, allowing me to have and understanding and patience, you know, for others, for other people's perspectives. And, I was just so black and white and rigid before, you know, someone who thought different than me was wrong. You know, I didn't even try to understand their perspective, you know, and now I can ask questions and be interested in why they think the way they do. And I can have empathy and identify with others, you know, instead of isolating and rejecting them. And before I didn't even know what the word empathy meant, you know. And this program is just miraculous, you know, in the changes, you know, the transformations God does in us, you know, when we're willing to, you know, he gives us, you know, the faith and the will, you know, to do his will. And it's just beautiful. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Brucey, you're up next, followed by GNF. Please share with us, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, gratefully recovered today. by God's grace and mercy. Well, this is pretty awesome here. And Bill's sitting there, and he says, "This floored me. That floored me." Began to look as those religious people read after all. So, yeah, Abby told him at the beginning of their conversation that he got religion. So now he's saying religious people right after all. So he's probably looking back on some religious people he met in the past that were sober and sane and, you know, not crazy. And so I'm looking back on my past, you know, from way back, you know, way, way, really back. I got out of high school and some guys like me went out and did crazy things and became addicts and, you know, stuff like that, like I did. And then others just stayed home and, you know, got married and had kids and went home and read the paper and watched TV and played with their kids and went to bed and didn't act crazy, you know. So that to me looked weird in the beginning, but now looking back on it, I think religious people right after all, you know. And it floored him. There's something at work in the human heart. So he knew the miracle had to have taken place in the human heart. And I believe it does. It takes place in the human heart. Well, what took place and what miracle took place in my human heart? Well, the obsession and compulsion lifted. That's what took place. And I saw that miracle in me, but I saw it first in you guys on this line, you men and women on this line. I saw it in you first. And I saw it in my sponsor first. And then I said, well, that floored me. I want that. That's taken place. And then maybe I can get it too, that miracle. And so the past didn't make any difference anymore to him. You know, the past was that he and Evie had hung around together since childhood. But they had had many sprees, alcoholic sprees together. That's over with. Here sat across the kitchen table from him, a miracle, and Bill wanted it. And it shouted great tidings. It's great tidings that came from Abby to him. And Abby was the messenger. He carried the message to Bill. And Bill was willing to listen because he saw such a change in this human heart. You know, he saw a new heart in him. And me, I've had a change. It's a miracle. It really is. And I'm appreciative of it. So that's it for me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Okay, DNF, you're up next, followed by Ross G.
Did you call me?
I did, Deanne. Good to hear you.
Good morning. This is DNF, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And wow, I just had to share on this paragraph because miracles are real. And this paragraph tells us that. I mean, you know, Bill is floored. Like, I mean, that's a lot, because Bill was not going to be easily floored, not by a miracle, maybe by falling down drunk, but definitely not by a power greater than himself. And, you know, what I believe today is that a miracle for me, because I had to drastically revise what a miracle meant. A miracle for me is anything that I cannot do, that I can't do, that happens outside of me, that I can't control, start, stop, anything. And so the miracle for me was that God did do for me what I couldn't do for myself with this disease of compulsive overeating. So that wasn't something that I could do with my human mind or my human heart or any other part of this human body. God had to do that for me. And the most important thing that I want to share with you guys today is that I have a miracle journal. And my miracle journal starts every day with, thank you, God, for waking me up today. Because that's a miracle that I don't control. God decides. And so what I get to decide for the day is, do I give everything to this creator? Or do I try with my human power? And today I say, God, take it all. And it's a miracle. Thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you, DNS. Thank you very much. Okay, Roz G., you're up next, followed by Jessica C.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And today is a special day for me because I, you know, it's Good Friday. And I count, you know, my religious practice and the person that saved me from everything, you know, that's a miracle to me. What was done, the sacrifice that was done for me. And I remember years ago, not that many years ago, I'm making it sound like it was ages ago, it was just like 2 or 3 years ago, Vision for You had a conference in Newark, New Jersey, and not too far away was Bill Wilson's home. It's the name is escaping me right now. But anyway, you know, a few of us got into a Jeep and drove over there, and my daughter was with me. My daughter, who is in AA, came with us. She just wanted to come for the trip. So she came for the trip, and she did her own thing in New York while I went to the conference. But she did come with us to Stepping Stones. That's the name of it. And my daughter and I sat at that table, and you know, we both have recovery, and we held hands at that table, and somebody took a picture of us, and I have that picture, you know, sitting at my desk, and I see it all the time, and I think of what, you know, the miracle that God has changed both of us through these steps. You know, today I am, what is a miracle is that I am more concerned about how I treat others than myself. I'm very concerned about how I treat other people. I do not want to have to make amends. I am human, and I will have to make them, but I don't want to do that. I want to look for the kind and loving way to approach situations. And another miracle is today I was thinking about, you know, I was looking at my food plan, and I want to focus more on my religious practice than what I eat, and so that what I put into my body today will not cloud my mind. Well, it doesn't anyway, but you know what I'm saying? It's like I want to even less so that I can focus on the day and not the food. So those are miracles to me, like how I treat others, how I want to focus on my religious practice. Those things are the way that my thought processes are so much clearer and miraculous than what they used to be. Because what I would think about was me, myself, and I, what I was going to get out of situations, what I'm going to eat, what's going to make me feel good. And today it's a complete opposite way of thinking and acting. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raj G. Jessica C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Juanice N.
Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Ontario, Canada. If I'm being honest, I get nervous about hitting star one and sharing on this meeting. But the miracle is for me is that I don't, you know, I've often been paralyzed by fear, by perfectionism and wanting to control what people think of me. I don't, the miracle for me is that that doesn't paralyze me anymore. And I've lived a lot of my life being paralyzed by fear. And I, until I got recovered about 3 years ago, I used the food to anesthetize that fear, or to help me, to distract me from how I was letting fear make my life really small. And of course, compulsive eating made my life even smaller. So, and I really thought, you know, past, I thought, well, that's just who I am. I'm just someone who has a lot of fear and anxiety, just like I have brown hair. It's just a fact of my life, and I'm going to have to, you know, figure out how to get through life this way. And it's just such a miracle for me that, you know, it doesn't control me the way that it used to. And, you know, some symptoms of that fear were isolating, being obsessed with myself, not being interested in others, perfectionism. And what I'm noticing lately is that I can be really generous with people now. I can be interested in them. I'm not constantly thinking about how do I minimize my, you know, this intense fear all the time. And I'm going through a lot of upheaval at my job, and I'm looking at, you know, other roles in the company. And to me, in the past, I would not put the effort into making that kind of change, because I putting yourself out there to be hired by someone else is scary. And I'm, you know, God's opening some doors for me, and it's exciting and scary too, but not in a paralyzing way, sort of in that nervous, happy anticipation sort of way. And I can definitely be of more service to others now, and more loving to the people in my life. So that is just such a miracle for me. So I wanted to share that. I'll pass. Thanks.
Sorry about that. I got an Amber Alert on my phone. but now I pushed it away. I wonder what it's about. Okay. God is good all the time. Juanice, then you're up next, and you'll be followed by Denise. Please share with us, Juanice.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and just truly feeling like it's a privilege, such a privilege to be a part of this fellowship. I mean, to get to hear what I get to hear, and that helps me every day, and it's such a privilege. So I, too, feel floored. I feel floored today by the realization that, you know, the miracle, here was something at work in a human heart, that had done the impossible. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but me, looking into my heart or trying to see something to change in my heart was the last place. I would have never looked there to try to deal with this problem that had me completely gripped and beaten. And then you say, look in my heart. I mean, the miracle is that I need will take place in my heart. Huh? What? Wait a minute. Don't I need to think differently? Or, you know, I would have just never thought that there was something in my heart. In my heart that needed to change. I'm floored. I'm floored. I'm absolutely floored. I looked everywhere. I tried everything, just like most of us, if not all of us, to try to figure out why I was killing myself with food and what I needed to do. You know, I was also floored, the same subject, floored when I was at a meeting and I was talking about maybe I should pray or something, and maybe it would help. and the person said to me, she said, oh, Juanice, she said, no, that the prayer is what creates this program. There is no program without prayer. And that floored me, too, because I just didn't understand that I needed a heart change. I didn't understand that I needed my heart to be rearranged. What? That's what I need? My heart to be rearranged? And it just goes to show and to further establish the fact that only God could do this. The big book makes it clear that God could and would if he were sought. Because I can't change my heart on my own. And that's what I need, is a changed heart. It's just so amazing. Well, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm not lost anymore. I'm so grateful that I know what to do today and know that I have the power to do it through God. I'm so grateful. So that's, and I'll, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Juanice. And Denise E., you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 11, paragraph 5, begins with, "That floored me," and ends with, "He shouted great tidings." Please share with us, Denise. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Denise E. from Tennessee. Thankfully, gratefully recovered for today. I'm so thankful for this meeting. So thankful. The shares have been amazing this morning. Just everyone is just speaking to my heart. And right now, currently, I'm reading the doctor's opinion with my sponsee. And I was reminded this morning that before a program, I was living in a tortured state every day. I wanted to die all the time. I just didn't have the willingness to kill myself, but I wanted to die because it was just so painful. And now fast forward almost 3 years later, and my life has changed. I'm experiencing miracles that I never thought would happen to me. I was always the negative naysayer saying, oh, it can happen to you, but it can never happen to me. But it has. I was just reminded this morning, I dealt with a crisis with my mother, and the situation would have just had me face down in the food. But because of program and fellowship, I was able to handle the situation with my higher power's help, and it turned out to be okay. I'm also reminded of another miracle. My mother lives with me, and she's 92, and I have to fix her meals and take care of her. And I'm able to handle my alcoholic foods, I mean, physically touch them every day and not want them. I never thought I would have food neutrality, but I do, and it's because of the program. And it feels like I am being reborn. My heart is changing. I always knew that it was a heart issue. I just didn't have the power to change it. I didn't. I tried everything possible to change, and I couldn't do it. But now, with my higher power's help, he's changing me from the inside out, where I'm being of service. I think of others. I'm being kind and loving to my family, things that I thought that would never happen, that I would just have to white-knuckle this for the rest of my life until I died. The miracles are happening. So if you're a newcomer and you're not experiencing what we're discussing, please don't give up. Don't give up. Keep coming to meetings. Keep coming. The miracle will happen. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Denise E. Appreciate your share. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we have time for some more shares. So please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name if you would like to share.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L.
Sandy K.
Amelia O. Sandy K. And who came in with Sandy K?
Amelia O.
Amelia O. Time for maybe one or two more. Okay, let's go with this and see where we end up. And Alex K. Oops, my pen just ran out. Okay, Alex K. That may be all we have time for. So let's go with Denise E., Stephanie L., Sandy K., Amelia O., and Alex K. I'm sorry, we already did Denise. So Stephanie L., please share with us. Star 1 to unmute, Stephanie. Thank you. Stephanie L.? star one to unmute? Pretty sure I heard a Stephanie L. Why don't we go to Sandy K?
Yes, thank you. This is Sandy K, compulsive overeater, calling in from South Florida. This part of Bill's story was a little bit difficult for me to read because when I first came to program, I grew up in a family that wasn't religious. And we really didn't have talk, there was really no talk of God. So what happened was when I went to my, I don't want to say my first meeting, but I went to my second meeting, and there were about, well, I don't know, 65, 70 people in that room. And they called for sponsors. And literally more than half the room stood up. And they used to go in the front of the room in a semicircle. And that was so powerful, so powerful. And then when I got to the second step, when I had a, you know, came to believe that there was a power greater than myself, I just took the energy of the group because I had never thought I was going to be able to stop overeating. And I didn't think of it in terms of miracle until a little bit later on when I became spiritual. And now it's such a blessing to see miracles all around me. And for me, I only can see them when I'm abstinent. And yesterday, I'm talking to my 11-step partner. Out of the clear blue, I had this thought to ask her something that I'm involved with today. And I speak to a lot of people, and I never said anything to them, do you know? And I said to her, this may sound crazy, but do you know? And she did. I mean, that was a miracle. So I love being open to miracles. And the other thing is, the first person I heard qualify, when he said he had been abstinent for 5 years and had lost, I don't know how much weight, a lot of weight, that was a miracle. But the beginning, because I wasn't religious, I wasn't spiritual, I just thought that was just awesome. And well, that I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy K. Share with us.
Hey, Elaine, did you say Stephanie L?
Yes.
It's acting weird this morning. That's crazy. I had got kicked off and I'm back. So hi, everyone. Good morning. Stephanie L, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Oh, gosh, you guys, I wasn't going to share this morning, but the shares have been so beautiful. And I'm so grateful. And I really had this thought that, you know, this miracle thing, right? So I'm in relapse, I'm eating against my will, I can't stop, I'm wanting, you know, I'm suicidal, and I log on to this Zoom thing, and I see this woman, and I see the light in her eyes, and I see her talking about this miracle of recovery, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, maybe for you, but you know what, it doesn't work for me, yet I continue to listen. Right? Because what I heard as she continued to share was there was something that was working within her. There was something that had been done to her, which had done the impossible. And it was like, for me then, it was like, well, maybe, just maybe. No, I don't know. I don't know if miracles really can happen. And, you know, if there is a God, I don't know why, if he's really going to do it for me. But I couldn't dispute the evidence that I saw in her story and in her face. And then even in my relapse, I logged on to this Vision for You meeting every single morning. And I heard the great tidings. You all shouted great tidings. And you all shared about this miracle. You may not have said the word miracle, but that you had been restored to sanity and that you weren't doing those things that I was doing. And I really had to pause and I really had to think, maybe, just maybe, this miracle was available for me too, right? Like, just like Bill, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised in that moment. And, you know, they say miracles twice in this paragraph. my sponsor loves to say the age of miracles is still with us. And yeah, it sounds kind of corny, but it's true. It's true. 3 years out of this relapse, I am still amazed, not just at the miracle happening in my life, but in the miracle that I see happening with sponsees and fellows that I walk with, and the miracles I hear every morning on this line from all of you. So if anyone is on this line who doesn't think these miracles are available to you, please call me. Like, call someone, because they are available to all of us. Whatever your version of a higher power is, it doesn't matter. But working these steps to connect with that power, and this miracle will happen, because if I'm sitting here, it can happen for anyone. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. Amelia O., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Alex K.
Hi, this is Amelia O. Grateful to be recovered today, originally from New York, now in Connecticut. This is really, it's powerful in the sense that, in my experience, and some people have talked about this, the really powerful thing is not having that attraction to the food. Like, I could stop eating for a period of time, a period of time that got shorter and shorter as the disease progressed, but I could stop eating, but it felt like I was trying to hold up the world, and eventually I would get exhausted and everything would fall down. But I don't have the desire to eat certain foods anymore. It's not overpowering, and that's the extraordinary thing. And for me, the most important thing is to remember that I didn't do this. I know I didn't do it, because I don't know how I would have done it. So, and then the other thing is to remember that I believe that I was given this recovery so that I could go out and do good things in the world, in whatever capacity that means. So for me, the mantra is, don't take credit, and go out and do good things. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amelia O. Alex K., you are up next. Please share with us.
Thanks so much, Elaine, and everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Wow. It had done the impossible. Here sat a miracle. This program and my higher power have done what I thought was impossible. The food obsession and compulsion have been removed. I never thought that could happen, and I could never make it happen, that's for sure. So to me, that's a miracle. And another miracle is that I kept coming back despite feeling really uncomfortable hearing people talk about God in meetings. And yet today, me, the person who was completely closed-minded to God or higher power, I now have a strong connection with my loving, compassionate higher power that I rely on for everything. And my self-destructive thinking and behavior have been transformed to be more life-enhancing and more higher power-centered. I feel like the miracles happen every day, and I can have, I see fear turned into faith, resentment turned into compassion, resistance turned into acceptance, and being able to have serenity in any circumstances. Right now, our kitchen's being torn out because of a water leak, and it's dirty, dusty, noisy, disruptive, and the homeowner insurance isn't calling us back, so everything's sort of uncertain. We don't know how or when this renovation project will be done. And I know in the past I would have been really anxious and stressed and irritable and in fear and self-pity. Every little challenge felt like the end of the world. But today I'm surprisingly calm about it all. It's just life on life's terms. It doesn't feel like a big deal at all. It's just one thing that's going on in my life right now, and that's amazing. That really is a miracle. So grateful. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Okay, we have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take it? Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Robin. I'll share.
Please go ahead, Robin. Let us know where you're calling from and the first initial of your last name, okay?
Sure. This is Robin A. And I'm in Los Angeles, and I have 4 days back. And last week, I had called and asked for people to pray for me, and it worked. And I'm not where everybody is in this meeting. The amount of faith that people have. And I know that it's always interesting because I would say that people can't make up the stories of how they used to, you know, act out or binge or when they're in their disease, and they can't make up the stories. You can hear it. I know when somebody is telling the truth or not. And the way that people talk, like someone had shared last week that they are recently back, and I thought, oh, maybe they have a week or two, but they're like, yeah, recently I'm back, I had a slip, and it was like 3 years ago, and I'm like, wow, these people aren't lying about their change of heart, their change of, like, that, you know, new pair of glasses, the way they perceive the world. And I just hope, you know, and pray that I could have that one day, just talk about way back when I first came in. I just, even just the gift that happened in 3 days is outrageous, you know. So I'm just so grateful. I think I have pneumonia, but I'm not in a self-pitying place. I am going to go to the ER today, but I just am taking care of myself, and I'm eating healthy to take care of myself and, you know, just love myself. And it's not because of me. It's absolutely because of a higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
So glad you could and did share, Robin A. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Diane B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered here in New York. I should have had the page queued up, but here we go. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.